Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. That's Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. And I am reading from the New American Standard. And it reads, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your sickness.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God."
Hear the words of that great philosopher, Winnie the Pooh. "People say that nothing is impossible, but I do nothing every day." Do we force ourselves to be productive? Is part of that motivation a payment for services rendered? We don't want to simply do nothing. We want to be productive. We want to be valuable to those around us. And more importantly, I believe that all of us want to be a true worker for God. There are different types of motivation. And we have to be honest with ourselves that in not every ministry or activity that we participate, do we do so because of love. Sometimes we do it because someone who is close to us has simply asked us. Sometimes our motivation is not so much for the other person or for the ministry or activity of the church, but because we do not want to see ourselves or have others see us in a negative light. Sadly, that really is about most of us. When we look at Christ and try to examine why Jesus did the things that he did in his earthly ministry, not a one of those things seemed to be for his own benefit or because he was talked into it by one of his disciples. When we look closely at his motivation, there are words that come to mind, words like love and mercy and kindness and compassion. I had read a plaque one time, and probably some of you may have even seen the same plaque. It said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." Can you imagine what the world would be like if each of us cared as deeply and passionately about others the way that Jesus did? Think about those who might want to worship with us if they really believed that we cared about them more than we care about what they could bring to us. I can't say that I have evidence of the answer in my head, but this one thing I do and can tell you about the motivation of Jesus and how he saw people and how others saw him. I'd like to go back to our scripture reading that Rusty read in Luke chapter 13 and verses 10 through 13. But for the moment, and just this moment, I'd like for us to focus in verse 11. A woman in the synagogue who had been crippled for 18 years. And we don't have the details of this woman's experiences, but for 18 years, this woman could not stand upright. For 18 years, this woman may have endured pain, or at least hardship due to her physical issues. I remember when Vicki and I were stationed in Japan, a lot of the very elderly women, they would be really hunched over due to whatever the cause was. And they would out there and be working just as hard as anyone else. But you couldn't see, at least on their faces, that they were in physical pain. But let's imagine just what life might have been for her. But also think of maybe someone that we know who has endured a long-term physical disability. And as we think about them, let's take the next step and see these people within our own congregation. For many here today, and even those who could not be with us today, are excellent givers of love and kindness during moments of hardship and grief and pain and suffering and loss. But you see, for most of us, life just goes on. For those people who have long-term disabilities or in a long-term illness, that is their life. And sometimes they just exist. This was a woman who simply did not come because Jesus was going to be there speaking. There was no marquee out in front of the synagogue and said, "Jesus preaches today." More likely, this woman probably attended the Sabbath every Sabbath day. And it just so happens that on this day, Jesus was there. Here was a woman who loved God. She loved the worship. She liked being there with her brethren. She probably loved listening to the words and the scriptures that were read because it would give her hope and comfort. She wanted to be close to God. But on this very day, something happened that she had never expected when she walked in those doors. The very first thing the scripture said is Jesus saw her. Now, she was probably used to people looking at her, people staring. We've all done it. We're out in public and we see someone who might be physically disabled or whatever, and we look at them. Sometimes we stare at them. Sometimes, if we're with somebody else, we might whisper something, hey, look at that person, look at that person. I'm sure that the people in this town that she lived in had pity for her. But Jesus saw her. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Jesus said, "And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day?" Here's what Jesus saw in this woman. That one, she was a daughter of Abraham, and two, that she had been bound by Satan. You know, when I was reading this week, I immediately flashed back to the book of Job. Sitting in ashes, and using a potsherd to scrape the boils from his skin. What happened to her was not because of some sin. The evil in this world, it brings about physical ailments. New germs pop up every day that we don't know but have never experienced before. New disabilities pop up that we've never experienced before. But no matter what it was, Jesus said it was a binding by Satan no matter, we let this woman see. Jesus did. We need to see them as God sees them. She didn't come that day expecting to be healed. She came to worship God. In verse 12, Jesus says, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And then in the very next verse, it says, "And he laid hands on her, and instantly she was healed." Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. The words from the song, "He Touched Me" by the Gaithers, are so true. Jesus has touched all of us here at one point in our lives. So what was it that motivated Jesus to heal this woman? The only answer that I can come up with, and maybe the only answer we can really come up with, is he had compassion. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And here Matthew records, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to the disciples, 'The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Jesus moved with compassion because people were harassed and helpless. Then Jesus talks about the harvest in verse 37. "A harvest of God is great, but the workers are few." Think about this. The people are harassed and helpless. There are many out there who are harassed and helpless. But there are few people that works in the harvest. One of the reasons the laborers are few is because most of us don't want to spend the amount of time and energy and maybe money in a harvest of harassed and helpless people. We're all in agreement. We want our church, our congregation, the Lord's church, to grow. But sometimes, in our hearts, we want it to grow with people more like us, who are not harassed and helpless, because that gives us a resource to be able to use immediately. We like our church to grow when we have people who move into the community who belong to the church before come and visit and place membership with us. That makes our job easy. It fills our pews. It helps enhance the singing. Puts a little more money in the collection plate with very little effort. When we examine the text in Luke chapter 13, there is a part of it that seems very strange, very cold-hearted. In a response to the healing of this woman, It's in verse 14. It says, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. You would think that someone who is in the leadership of this synagogue would be overjoyed about looking and probably knowing this woman, probably had visited her and maybe helped her. Wasn't happy about it. All he did was level a veiled accusation on this woman. But Jesus quickly came to her defense. And rightly so, he puts this man into place. Verses 15 and 16, then the Lord answered him and he said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? The logic that Jesus uses is very simple. If it affects you, if it affects your desires, you justify working on the Sabbath. What Jesus very openly does is value human life. And he values suffering more than self-justification. Doing what we want instead of doing what is right in the eyes of God. And probably many of us at one time or another are guilty of the same thing. We condemn someone for doing something and we do the same thing. But we come up with a justification for why we are doing it, why it's okay for us to do it. It's not about an animal. And if it should need water, it's about, do we care more about self or whatever than we do about those who suffer? You know, the greatest compassion we can have towards others is not just to help them in their physical needs. We should always be there for them for that. We need to be there for them for their spiritual needs. Many of you give generously and deeply of your time and your energy and your abilities and even your money to help out anyone in this congregation. The depth of your love for one another is a testimony of what Christ has done for you. There is more here than just what we do for one another. Friends, we must desire to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We all, each and every one, from the very youngest to the very oldest, are worth beyond just what we can and cannot do. And being here this morning speaks of your desire to worship God. But if we are motivated by anything, let us be motivated first and foremost by love and compassion. Friends, the work of the church is never easy. We really have it made in a lot of ways. It only takes Vicki and I 20 minutes to get here from our house. We can be at most congregations, this local area, within an hour. And yet Christ, he walked everywhere. And every place that he went to those synagogues. And in every place that he went to, he had compassion for the people. He loved humanity, just as we should. And if everyone loved humanity equally, we'd be in a world that would be wonderful and we would never want to leave. This congregation, for many, many years, has helped so many people. So many other congregations and people around the world. But we need to take a step and look in our own communities, in our own backyards too. Because there are people who are hurting and there are people who are helpless that need us. If you are not a child of God, you're among the helpless and the hopeless. But you can change that this morning by obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will save you just as much as he helped that woman that day. He can make you whole. Through repentance and confession and baptism, your life can be made new. And if you are a child of God and you've been struggling with your own spirituality, with your own motivation, and you come to realize that the things that you've done or thought or said need to be changed and you need to ask for forgiveness, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. If it's something within you and personal between you and God, ask him to forgive you. You don't have to respond in a public way. But if you need to respond in a public way, if you need our prayers, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.